It is something upon which we should be sensitive, we should be caring, we should be compassionate, and we should be those who pray for such individuals. The same could be said of men as well. There are many men who are in similar situations. There are many children and families who have been torn apart by sin, who have suffered under such sorrow. And this passage brings our attention to all of these matters. And we should approach then, therefore, with a heart that is humble, a heart that is caring, a heart like Christ, for Christ cares for those within the church.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted as usual to have you join with us as we seek to bring the Word of God to your heart and to your soul. We're going to go to our church in Cloverdale as we continue looking at 1 Timothy and coming to consider the subject today, Christ, Church and Widows. May the Lord bless His Word to your soul today.
Timothy chapter 5, we'll commence reading at the first verse. The word of God says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Well reported off for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed." Amen, and may the Lord bless the reading of His precious and infallible truth to our souls. Matthew Henry, the Puritan commentator, said, "It is the duty and comfort of those who are desolate to trust in God. Therefore, God sometimes brings His people into such straits that they have nothing else to trust to, that they may with more confidence trust in Him." He says that widowhood is a desolate estate, but let the widows trust in Me and rejoice that they have a God to trust to. Last time we were in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we considered the opening of this chapter, the opening verses, their emphasis upon the family of God, and the importance of treating the elders, the older within the congregation as fathers, the younger as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Today we move on to the next section that deals with those within the church community who have been widowed. Now we must note that the situation of widows in Bible times was very different in comparison to our modern day. The state of widowhood in the New Testament was often a dangerous estate for women to be in. Her economic security was often based upon her husband and his work and income. Today in first world countries, based on government aid and life insurance and other things, the same situation may not bring some of the same dangers, but it is a position in life that is not desirable. It is a position that has brought sorrow and sadness. And Paul is rightly then pointing out in this chapter the concern and care that the church of Christ should have. Although some of this is viewed in the context of the first century, yet there is an implication of the spiritual care that the church should have for those that are in such situations. So not only those who are widowed, but there is an implication here that the church of Christ is to have a spiritual care over each one in all of our different situations. It is believed that this special emphasis upon widows indicates something of the composition of the church in Ephesus. Timothy is in Ephesus. Paul is writing to Timothy. He's writing in the context of the church at Ephesus. And perhaps this was a knowledge, it is believed, that they needed, for their experience was such that many of their number were in this position, and therefore specific instructions were needed. It is interesting to note that in verse 3, the word widow in the Greek indicates a woman without a husband, not merely to one whose husband had passed away, but someone who is alone regardless of the reason. And so we have here the emphasis that the Lord places, the care from the heart of God to those women within the church of Christ who were single because of the death of spouses, or single because of singleness in the will of God, or singleness for other reasons. There is a care and a compassion and a love exhibited. And as we come to this passage, while the context here is focused upon those individuals that we have mentioned, we're not to look at our own marital state and declare that therefore this sermon and the emphasis is irrelevant to us. It's not for us. It's not for our learning and our instruction, because we're not in this situation. Well, the Word of God has a bearing and has a purpose for us all. And in the wider context of 1 Timothy 5, there is an emphasis upon the church of Christ, all of us, in light of the specific subject of widows here. And while the time period is different from today, this emphasis upon the care of such women has a crucial application within the church of Christ. We find throughout society, not only in secular society, but we find in the church as well, many who have been abandoned by their spouses, many who have been left, many godly women whose spouses have followed the course of this world into sin. And the marital union has been destroyed. And so as we come to this subject, it is a very sensitive subject. It is something upon which we should be sensitive, we should be caring, we should be compassionate, and we should be those who pray for such individuals. The same could be said of men as well. There are many men who are in similar situations. There are many children and families who have been torn apart by sin, who have suffered under such sorrow. And this passage brings our attention to all of these matters. And we should approach then, therefore, with a heart that is humble, a heart that is caring, a heart like Christ, for Christ cares for those within the church. We are reminded that we are to cast our cares at His feet, for He careth for us. And oh, what a reminder there is for the church of Christ, that when we look at those within the church who perhaps have faced much difficulty, very different than ourselves, let us be caring and compassionate. On the surface, things may seem fine and good and positive, but under the surface, that can be a different story. And so let us be sensitive, let us be compassionate, let us have a heart like the Savior. But as we think on this subject, we are reminded regarding husbands and wives and their marriage. We're reminded of the importance of marriage. Dear Christian husband, today, take a moment to reflect upon your marriage. Christian wife, take a moment to think upon your marriage. Are you the spouse that you should be? Are you the husband you should be? The wife that in light of the Word of God you should be? Are you the spouse that Scripture instructs you to be? Marriage should be this unbreakable bond between the husband and the wife. Yet a whole host of sin, a whole host of sins can greatly and negatively affect that bond. Lies and deceit and adultery and immorality and unspiritual behavior, a lack of love, grace, mercy. All of these things can affect the vital bond of marriage. And it is not just the husband, but the wife as well, that needs to take note of the state of their marriage. Is it a marriage that glorifies God by setting forth the great antitype of marriage in Christ and His salvation? Oh, that it would be, and oh, that we would pray for each married couple here. Lord, give them a marriage. Give me a marriage. Give us a marriage like Christ and His church. We're reminded as we come to consider that subject of marriage in the greater context here as well, of the importance of our marriages. We're reminded in the Old Testament of the love of God toward the widow. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, we read of God being the God of gods, the Lord of lords, a great God. And He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. In the Psalm 68, we are reminded as well of God. We are to sing unto Him. He is a father of the fatherless and a judge of widows. God is one who cares for the widow. We can think of that widow who was fed during the days of Elijah. We can think of Ruth, who was taken care of. We can think of Christ healing the son of the widow of Nain. He commended another praying widow. The Lord is one who loves and protects and has compassion upon the widow. And this is especially seen in the ancient world due to the vulnerability of the widow. One commentator said that in the narrow restrictions of ancient social life, it was not easy for them to maintain their children after the erring member of the family had passed, and they stood in need of special consideration and help. And the early church then were instructed in this concern and care that flowed from the heart of God, flowing into His church, and this love then flowing to the widow. In Acts chapter 6 and the verse 1, we find one of the first great controversies within the church, and that stemmed from the treatment of the widows. As a result of this problem, godly men were chosen to oversee the practical needs of the ministry, especially to the widows. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, the verse 7, the apostle says, "And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. This, therefore, then, is a command or a charge to the church of Christ." This is not merely a charge to the pastor or to the elders or a charge to the widows, but this is a charge for the church to listen, to obey, to love, to have that spiritual care, that they may be blameless. You see, as the church of Christ and as individuals, we are to be blameless. We are to obey the command of God. We are to show such care to those who are in need. And so this morning, I want us to consider Christ, church, and widows. Christ, church, and widows. And we have three thoughts this morning that you can see in the bulletin as well. And this passage from verse 3 down to verse 16 is lengthy. There are many things that we can consider here, many practical lessons. We're going to deal with it all, God willing, in one sermon. And therefore, we might not be as in depth as we could be if we were to spend several weeks on this subject. But I want you to notice, first of all, that the true widow is to be honored by the church. The true widow is to be honored by the church. Notice what is said in verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Honor widows that are widows indeed. And you see, in our points this morning, we have this emphasis upon the true widow. Honor widows that are widows indeed. And that's where we get that. Widows indeed. The church of Christ is to discern those who are truly in need. But there is placed upon the verses that we have here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 an expectation upon the family members of those who are in need. Verse 4 draws our attention to that. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. And therefore, if the widow has children, nephews, relations, those relations are expected to step up and to show help and concern, to, as it were, take something of that role that was commonly taken by the husband and to help. We can look at it in a practical sense, that there is maintenance work to be done around the house. That is normally the job, perhaps, of the husband. But now, someone else can step up and do that maintenance or something like that to help. Just in a very practical way of illustration. There is to be a care for family members in need by the family. That is the expectation of Scripture. Those older family members are not to be set aside or set adrift or left to their own devices, but there is to be a care from within the family. There is to be a piety. Verse 4 tells us that. Let them learn first to show piety at home. And this is something by which those within the church, family members within the church, can serve God in their own families, can show piety within their own family circle, showing godliness. That is what piety is. We are to be a pious people. We are to be those who are godly and those who show godliness. And therefore, the apostle is saying that one of the ways that a family can show godliness is by taking care of those who have been bereaved within their family unit. And that is a duty. That is an expectation. That is a universal concept. We can think of those in Scripture who took care. Joseph and Jacob, for example. If we turn to verse 8 of 1 Timothy 5, it builds upon this. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And so the apostle says, this is the mandate. This is how godliness is shown by you within your own family unit. And then he moves a step further and he says, this is such a duty that is binding upon you that if you do not do this, you're worse than an infidel. You've denied the faith. Denied the faith. We think in society, secular society, paganism, of how There are those who do this. They take care of their families. They take care of those within their family who are in need. And there are different ways of doing that. But they take care. And if the secular world can do it, if the unsaved world can do it, this is what Paul is saying here. If the Christian does not do this, then he is worse than the pagan. He is worse than the infidel. There is an expectation based upon our relationship with God to take care of our families. We can understand that. Family members that we love, family members who've cared for us, and in later years they have been set aside with sickness. They cannot care for themselves. And our response is not to be tough. They can get on with life. They can fend for themselves. We're to take care. We're to take care. We're to do what we can to help. That can be a difficult thing. It can be a trial for us. It can be a hardship for us. It can be difficult to do what is necessary. The family member may not appreciate the effort and all that we're trying to do to help them. And we can be discouraged and downcast. But dear believer, remember that this is a duty that the Lord has set forth in His Word. It's a service to God. It's a service to your family. It's a service to Christ that brings glory to Him. And in that situation, encourage your heart that there is this duty and this responsibility that though you may not be thought of kindly, though there may be words that come that are hard and spiteful, continue in that work for the glory of God. There is to be this care. Matthew Henry said, "The respect of children to their parents with their care of them is fitly called piety." Piety. He refers to it as being the indispensable duty of children. If their parents be in necessity and they inability to relieve them, to do it to the utmost of their power, for this is good and acceptable before God. And so there is this duty, but this duty also honors the widow. It honors the person in care. Moving back to verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. And verse 3 indicates that those who are widows indeed. When we think of the church helping and providing that care, the family is to first learn to show piety, but there is a care exhibited by the church. The church are to care for those who are lonely, truly without means. And therefore, here in the New Testament, there was to be a discerning. As one commentator said, some have resources, some in friends and family, but they still need spiritual help and they still need the comfort of the Church of Christ. And dear believer, when we move out of the family circle and we come into the church family, are you supporting, are you praying, are you caring for those within the church family who are in such a position? Are you honoring them? Are you praying for them? Are you seeking to be a help to them? God's instruction here about caring for widows is essential to genuine Christianity. This is instruction that is meant to be followed. Honor toward true widows. A respect, a support. That is what is in view here. For you.
Our Spurgeon devotional today is taken from the Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 1. I sought him, but I found him not. Tell me where you lost the company of Christ, and I will tell you the most likely place to find him. Have you lost Christ in the closet by restraining prayer? Then it is there you must seek and find him. Did you lose Christ by sin? You will find Christ in no other way but by the giving up of your sin, and seeking by the Holy Spirit to mortify the member in which the lust doth dwell. Did you lose Christ by neglecting the Scriptures? You must find Christ in the Scriptures. It is a true proverb. Look for a thing where you dropped it. It is there. So look for Christ where you lost him, for he is not gone away. But it is hard work to go back for Christ. Bunyan tells us the pilgrim found the piece of the road back to the Arbor of Ease, where he lost his role, the hardest he had ever travelled. 20 miles onward is easier than to go 1 mile back for the lost evidence. Take care, then, when you find your master, to cling close to him. But how is it you have lost him? One would have thought you would never have parted with such a precious friend, whose presence is so sweet, whose words are so comforting, and whose company is so dear to you. How is it that you did not watch him every moment for fear of losing sight of him? Yet since you have let him go, what a mercy that you are seeking him, even though you mournfully groan. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Go on seeking, for it is dangerous to be without thy Lord. Without Christ you are like a sheep without a shepherd, like a tree without water at its roots, like a leaf in the tempest, not bound to the tree of life. With thine whole heart seek him, and he will be found of thee. Only give thyself thoroughly up to the search, and verily thou shalt yet discover him to thy joy and gladness. Thank you for listening to our program today. This is Let the Bible Speak, and we do pray that the Word of God, the ministry of His truth, has indeed been a rich blessing to your heart and to your soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.